Good morning, Every Nation Church Penang, and everyone online. This morning, we are on a series of this Rediscovering Christmas, right? I'm indeed very excited to be here, sharing this special message to every one of you. And I hope that this message will speak to you individually in a very special way, right? And this morning, let's look into the Word of God, okay? In John's Gospel, and find out, firstly, the nature and the purpose of incarnation. And secondly, how to rediscover the true meaning of Christmas. To look into this Christmas and from a different perspective. Just like architects know, we draw perspectives for buildings and we choose the different angles, and then we'll choose the best angle for you. So today, this morning, we're going to look through the lens of John. Amen? And the perspective from John, okay? Now, how to rediscover Christmas? We will find out as we go on. Now, Christmas is always a celebration for a lot of people, right? Celebration. We have discovered Christmas very early in our lives and all that. And today we're going to rediscover. Re means relook again from a different perspective. Now, with celebration of parties and brightly lit Christmas trees and, of course, delicious Christmas dinner. And, of course, a lot of gifts, you know, especially for the children. And I spoke to my 10-year-old granddaughter in Melbourne through WhatsApp not long ago and asked her, Jaylene, what is the best Christmas gift you received among all the gifts you have? She said, without hesitation, Jesus himself. Amen. I said, where do you learn from that? She said, from mommy. So, as I recall, while my children was growing up, they were small. And then my wife and myself always tell them that the best Christmas is Jesus himself. Amen. Now, let us look into the Word. And before that, you know that all earthly gifts will fade away. And only the gift of Jesus himself will last forever. And today, the passages we're going to read, I'm going to read through once, and then you can open up your Bibles or your devices, because this won't be up on the screen. I'll pick only those verses that are pertaining to the message later on, okay? Now, let's read the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Now, from the passage that I read, for the verses, I want to present to you three truths about Jesus. Now, here is the first one, the first truth, that Jesus is God. Amen. Yeah, the first one, Jesus is God. Now, verse 1 and 3, I'll repeat this verses here because they are so important, all right? Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Now, John starts his gospel with the divinity of the Word in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, how about before the beginning? Is there anyone thought about that before? There's no beginning before, right? Before the beginning began, there was a beginning before beginning, right? And that is eternal past. Eternal past. No time is put on that. After the beginning, there's time. We start counting the time, right? And those eternal past, God was already there. Yeah, okay? Now, this is the beginning, and there was a Word. That means the Word was pre-existent. Pre-existing, if you may. And it is co-existent, as I read that verse, co-existent. It was with God. The Word was with God together, but separate. If you are with your friend, you are actually with your friend separately, okay? Now, the other word I want you to grasp is the self-existing. Self-existing means it was there. God already there in the beginning, before the beginning, all right? And that is self-existing, okay? Right. Now, the word in Greek is logos. Logos means reason and divine power and creative power in the Greek. Because the Greek are very philosophical, they know how to use the word. So logos. Now, the evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ is found in many books in the Bible, but none of them are more powerful than these opening verses in the Gospel of John. You know, they are simple words. God with here. I mean, children would understand. If we teach children about, they would understand these words. But it is so, so profound. When I first read this, I was a bit confused after starting that time, the first time I read it. Because the words were just so profound that when you really read into it, it is very profound. Okay, now, the second truth is Jesus is man. Why Jesus is man? Jesus is God, Jesus is man. Okay, in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the miraculous event of the Word became flesh, dwell among us. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Now, if I could, I would like to bring you on a journey, right? Bring on journey back to the past, right? To the years around AD 88. Well, just imagine that this is a time machine here, all right? So scene one, time machine. I just hop inside. I'm going back to the past, not to the future, the past. and come along with me. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Scene two. Here I am. Come out. And I could see John. Wow. Sitting at a table, writing the Gospel of John, of course. And then he just finished verse 14. Then if I could speak Greek, read Greek. Yeah, I'm just peep through because it was written in Greek, right? And so I asked John, wait a minute, John. Wait a minute. Why? You know, you said God is divine. It's eternal God. And all the things about God. But why? Why you say that the word that's God becoming flesh? I don't comprehend. I don't understand. You know, my carnal mind would not let me understand this. I am stuck. You say it was eternal God, co-assistant with God and all that. Now, John just looked at me, smiled, never said a word, and then went back to writing, keep writing, not a word, keep writing. And he recorded the most powerful testimony of John the Baptist about Jesus coming into the world. That is in verse 15, the next one. John testified concerning man, concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. What a powerful testimony John the Baptist has testified. And John continues to emphasize the reality that is through Jesus that people would encounter the grace and truth of God and be saved. And in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Furthermore, seven signs, seven discourses, and seven I am quotes claimed in the book of John testify to who Jesus is. There are plenty of evidences testifying about Jesus. So I was bubbling with joy then, bubbling with joy, because I know I understand. So I shouted out, Jesus is God and Jesus is man. And I thanked John and bid farewell to him and went back into my time machine. Boom, scene three. I'm so glad I'm back here with you. Hallelujah. So the chorus of the song, you know, the comes to mind. How marvelous, how beautiful, and my song shall ever be. I think Brother Terrence can easily sing this song. No, how marvelous, how wonderful. Yes, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior love for me. Amen. Friends, this is the gift of Christmas. This is Jesus' love for you and for me. This is the Christmas story. This is the perspective that we must look at this morning. Okay, now, before we go on to truth number three, that is, Jesus is God-man, fully God and fully man. Now, notice that God-man is a hyphenated word. The hyphen connects the two words together, God and man, into one entity, right? Now, he's always one person with two natures, the divine natures and the human nature. Now, there is a lasting and indestructible union in one person, the person of Christ. Jesus is no less God because of his humanity. And Jesus is not less a human because of his deity. Understand that? It's two together separately. All right. Now, Jesus, the God-man, is a true light. So before I go on, I want to tell you a little story. When we were small, we like to act big. We always say, after a sentence, man, this man, that, right? This is good, man. Come have a taste, man. This ice cream is good, man. Well, it's always a man behind. Rather than a little boy was asking a bigger boy, who is Jesus? The bigger boy say, he's God, man. Now this is God, man, all right? He's right. He's so right. Yeah, Jesus is not God and man. Jesus is God-man in one unity. Yeah, amen? It's one union. Now, in verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Right? And he was in the world. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. All right? You know the word light is mentioned 30 times in the Gospel of John. And light is not static. Light is an energy. It's traveling 300,000 kilometers per second. Not per hour, it's so fast. And when we drive on the highway at 110 kilometers per hour, that's per hour, or slightly above that, my wife will say, oh, slow down, it's too fast. Too fast, come. Now, just imagine 300,000 kilometers per second. You don't know where you went. It's so fast. It's an energy. It is a divine power. It is a divine power overpowering the darkness. Just imagine when the light like that, darkness will go away. Overcome the power. The darkness. Okay, this is the light of life. Okay, in John 8:12, it's not in the slides, so you just listen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Don't want to walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen? Beautiful. And, you know, we were asked a question, why? Why does God man? We can say Jesus is God. Why must there be God-man? You know, it is because Jesus' work is worthy and effective only if there is a such union. Okay, in Christ we have a God who has lived a human life, yet because of his divine nature, he's able to reconcile us to God. The divine nature. The human nature dwell among us, and then he knew of all our characters, our situation and all that. He would want to offer us a saving, a life that is more abundant. Amen. Okay, now we've gone through this three truths of Jesus. Now we talk about the ministries of Jesus. What are the ministries of Jesus? Actually, there are a lot of ministries of Jesus, but I only list down three ministries of Jesus here. Number one is perfect sacrifice. Okay. 1 John 2:2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. He is a perfect sacrifice. Only as God-man could Jesus offer to the Father a perfect substitutionary atoning sacrifice for our sins. There's no other way. No man can do it. Only Jesus as a God-man. Okay, number two. Number two is effective priesthood. Now, Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Interceding. Jesus is interceding for us. Only as God-man could he be the effective high priest interceding for those who come to the Father by him. Amen. So the third ministry of Jesus is eternal kingship. Eternal kingship. Revelation 19:16. On his robe and on his thigh, he was riding the horse, right? Okay, on his thigh, the name was written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So only as God-man slain for us is he worthy of an eternal kingship, receiving power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. So wonderful. That is our King. That is our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we carry on. Now there are three ministry of Jesus we've just gone through. It's a perfect sacrifice. Number two, his effective priesthood. Number three, eternal kingship. Amen. Now let's go through the assurances from Jesus. I just want you to have these assurances from Jesus. So number one, you know, is inspiration. In fact, there are many assurances from Jesus in the Bible. We put our faith and trust in him. Therefore, we would have these assurances. No, I only list three here. So number one is inspiration. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. Now, second one is called comfort. This is assurance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I'll read on to 4 a bit, you know. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Amen? We can comfort others when we receive comforts from God. Now, the next assurance from God is illumination. And this is very important. Illumination. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Beautiful, isn't it? So we need the light of man. Now, I want to tell you another story. Now, there was this pastor I know about 18 years ago. He was about 65 years old then. And he has the black hair. You have so pitch black. You can compare with any youth. The hair was so dark and so beautiful to me. You know, I wish I could have hair like him, you know. And he always put, you know, oil or even bark cream on it, so shining. So one time I asked him, you know, how do you use any dye to dye your hair? So he kept quiet, didn't want to ask. Just like John. So whenever he goes up to the stage of pulpit, he would clarify one thing, because I think a lot of people ask him that question. He said, my hair is natural. God bless me with this black hair. I don't use ICI paint. He said that in his own word, ICI. He didn't say he didn't dye his hair, but he don't use ICI paint. Wow, then I understand. Really, it was so pitch black, so nice. And then today I want to tell you that my hair is also natural. I don't use ICI gray paint or silver paint. Hey, hi. Right. Now you remember ICI.
Yeah.
Yep, ICI. I for inspiration. Be inspired to act on His word. Right? C is for comfort. Be comforted by Him in all circumstances. Okay, I is for illumination. Let His true light guide and direct you. Now, can you understand? Can you remember ICI? All right, go. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm coming to conclusion now. All right, and still stay in time. All right, okay. All that matters, right? We've gone through that series. All that matters most of all this Christmas is found in verses 12 and 13. I keep it to the last, and it is so beautiful. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Okay. Now, verse 12 is talking about us receiving Him for those who believe in His name, and He will give the light. You know, this is the second miracle of Christmas where we have, where we become the children of God. This is the second miracle. What's the first miracle? The first miracle is Jesus, the God-man, becoming human. So becoming human, first miracle. Then the second miracle is for us to become children of God. Amen. The highlights of this importance, the highlights is the importance of Jesus who came to redeem us from this world, okay? Redemptive work in the world. So I need my notes, you know, this old mind, you know. But old mind can be renewed by renewed by ICI. Renewed by the word of God. Amen. Amen. So old minds can be renewed. Yeah. This old mind need notes to read. Amen. And a Chinese saying say that, 活到老,学到老. So literally translate to, you live until old, you learn until old. So in proper English is, it's never too late to learn, right? Okay, then apart from, for this light of Jesus, there is no other light. Definitely not the lights on the big, big Christmas tree by which we may see the truth and be saved. Now, Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. After knowing all what God through Jesus has done for us, we need to make the important decision in our life and act on it. And this is to believe, receive, and be saved. The word believe in Greek is pisteuo. And it's found 98 times in the Gospel of John. That shows how important it is to believe. And belief is not a one-time event, but an ongoing process. That's why we have to keep on, keeping on believing in Jesus and fully rely on Him in all our ways for salvation, for forgiveness, for guidance, for protection, and for our daily need. So I would end here with a quote from C.S. Lewis. It's so beautifully said here. Relying on God has to start all over again every day as if nothing has been done. Every day. Once we open our eyes in the morning, that's it. We have to rely on God all the way. So may I invite the music team to come back this time? Now, after hearing today's message, if any one of you wants to believe in Jesus and to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, now remain where you are. You don't have to come up or even raise your hands. You just remain where you are and repeat this simple prayer after me. It is so important to believe and to receive and to become children of God. Repeat this simple prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for my sin and rose from the dead. I repent of my sins and invite Jesus to come into my heart and life and become my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. If you pray this prayer for the first time, congratulations, you are a child of God now. Go and see your pastor or your friends who direct you to a church. Well, beside Every Nation Church Penang. Yeah, wherever you are. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let us close in prayer. Kurapasanai. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the message, Father, that you want your children to know, to see Christmas from a different perspective, to rediscover Christmas, because it is so important for us. Lord, we want to know more about you, that Jesus, the God-man, has come to earth and dwell among us, so that whoever believes in you shall not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for this life, abundant life. Lord, continue to speak to us so that we will continue to believe you every day of our life. And we want to give you praise and give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.